Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Support for this podcast is provided by Subchuck Law. Revolution Recap thanks Subchuck Law for their support of our show, local independent media, and their mission of bringing unbiased truth. Revolution Recap would also like to thank Six Point Builders for their support. Six Point Builders are builders of fine custom homes in the Boston metropolitan area. Welcome everyone to another episode of Revolution Recap. We have a special interview for you today. Myself and Seth McComber of the Blazing Musket interviewed Tom Bogert of The Athletic. It was a great chat. Covered a lot of topics ahead of the summer transfer window that opens up, I believe, middle of next week. We talked about what the Revs are looking for, what they could need. Are they going to use a U22 spot? Are they interested in Victor Wanyama? What's the deal with Petrovic? What's the deal with DeJuan Jones? We covered a long range of topics of potential inbound and outbound transfers. Also talked a little bit about the League's Cup coming up. Talked a little bit about the Revs Academy and the MLS Next Cup, which the Revs won for the second year in a row. Bit of a dynasty brewing over there. So very wide-ranging interview we have with Tom Bogert. Just to let you know, if you're not subscribed to The Athletic to read Tom's work, I highly recommend it. Right now they're doing a summer sale. It's $1 a month for 12 months. You can see all of Tom's work. You can see all of Paul Tenorio's work. They do a great job at The Athletic covering Major League Soccer, one of the few outlets to do it. Before I get to that interview, not a whole lot of news and notes this week. I guess the big thing to talk about is Georgi Petrovic was named an all-star this afternoon. Carlos Heel wasn't. I think that really kind of surprised a lot of people. Petrovic is not a big surprise. I believe he is the backup because he was not the fan vote. He was a coach's choice. No surprise there with Petrovic. Carlos Heel, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people. But if you look at the attacking midfielders that he had to surpass, we're talking about Acosta, Almada, Hani Mukhtar, Lucas Celarayan. That is a loaded attacking midfield. Looking at Puig, maybe Wayne Rooney could have gone with Carlos Heel over Puig. I think there's a very, very strong argument in Carlos Heel's favor for that. But there's only so many spots, and it was probably the most challenging position. And with the magic of editing, I am here talking to you hours later after recording the first part of this show. There is more news that happened after I finalized everything. I love when that happens. I love when news comes up after I finalize everything and when the episode is ready to go, and then I check Twitter and something has happened. The New England Revolution apparently have come to an agreement with Racing in Argentina, which typically is tied to Gustavo Bo. Apparently, the Revs are loaning a 24-year-old winger, Tomas Chancalay. I'm not going to get this pronunciation correct. Chancalay, for those of you that want to look him up on Transfer Market. The Revs have reached an agreement to loan him for a fee of $400,000 for the end of this year and $400,000 for next year, so $800,000 loan fee for a one-year period. And also there is a purchase obligation, according to Twitter, according to journalists down in Argentina, that if he plays 60% of the minutes, that will trigger a $3 million transfer fee for 75% of the player's rights. So he's not a U22 player. We talk with Tom Bogert about the Revs needs. Winger is on this list. Not a U22 player, but might be a player that uses up a little bit of TAM depending on where his salary lands. And it sounds like if this purchase option is triggered, very possible that this is a designated player in the future. So one to keep an eye on. We'll probably talk about this more on the weekend podcast, but just to let everyone know that this news has occurred. And it's very interesting. Not sure what my thoughts are on this. I know very, very little about the player, but as I say, we'll talk about this more, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. I'm going to keep it short today because it is my birthday, and for the longtime listeners of our podcast, you guys know that means I am off to a lovely, lovely dinner at Applebee's tonight. If you're on social media, make sure you wish me happy birthday. If you're not following us on social media, I don't know why you're not. Go follow us at Revolution Recap on Twitter, or go follow our Revolution Recap Instagram and Facebook pages. And also, we want to thank our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. And that includes Major League Soccer. FC Cincinnati, I believe the last time I checked, they were a plus 110 favorite for this weekend. So the Revs are the underdog, but 50-50 chance, according to the odds, that they come away with a point. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. We also want to thank Glasso Kits. Go check out glassokits.com today and save 15% off everything in the store. I did notice, by the way, there are some youth New England Revolution jerseys, 2021 home kits. Those are stylish, and they are $15 each at glassokits.com. And that is before you use promo code REVSRECAP to save 15% off, so it's an even better deal. But even if you don't like those or you want something in an adult size, there's going to be something for you at glassokits.com. So go check them out today, and go follow their Glasso Kits Instagram and Twitter pages to get updates on their inventory. And again, use promo code REVSRECAP at checkout to save 15% off your order. With all that being said, here is our interview with Tom Bogart of The Athletic. All right, joining the podcast now from The Athletic, Tom Bogart. Thank you, Tom, for joining the show. Let's get to the transfer window. We're kind of looking ahead to the transfer window. And obviously, you mentioned an extra time a few times that the Revs are, they bought out Jozy Altidore. They look to be buyers. And I think a lot of Revs fans are excited about the upcoming window. Who do you see as being a fit for the Revolution? Where do you see them targeting?
Going on, guys. First of all, thanks for having me. They're definitely going to be buyers again by moving Jozy out, by using the buyout on Jozy Altidore, which, you know, I want to go back to, is that's a significant thing. It's easy for the three of us to look at the Revs or the Galaxy and just be like, why didn't the Galaxy buy out Douglas Costa, or why didn't this team? You know, we it's easy to spend other people's money. So I do want to point out that that was at least 2 years left on Jozy's deal at a pretty significant number that the Revs obviously still have to pay. The only relief here is salary cap. So I want to point out that that was a very good win now type of move for this team that, so let's say, in recent years has been very good and very ambitious, but in the past, not so much. So I want to be able to point out the good news. So yeah, Jozy Altidore has been bought out a few weeks ago. And with that comes a lot of salary cap flexibility beyond that. They also put Dylan Barrero on the season-ending injured list. That opens up a U22 initial slot and some other kind of mechanism. So within that, they have plenty of room. I'm expecting a winger to come in. I'm expecting a defense-minded midfielder, whether it's a number six or a box-to-box, somebody else that can play with Polster and give Polster kind of another option for the rare times that he's not available to play. But yeah, so those are kind of the two spots that I'm assuming the Reds are going to add this summer.
And you mentioned, too, the Dylan Barrera was put on the season-ending injury list. That opens up the U22 slot. Our listeners are big roster rule nerds, so they know that when you have two U22 players, you can't have that third designated player. You need to have him be a young designated player. So We've speculated on whether or not the Revs would go down that road because it might restrict them when Gustavo Bo's contract is up for next season, having Barrera and then another U22. Do you think a U22 player is a possibility for the Revolution, and is that an avenue they're looking at?
It's a possibility. I'm not sure if that's kind of like where they're married, because, like, again, I know that they definitely want to add a winger. I'm not sure if they're like, all right, it has to be U22 initiative. They're not really worried about the flexibility as far as I'm concerned, because again, the Gustavo Bo's contract is up at the end of the year. I don't, like, if he stays, I don't see him being a DP anywhere in the league, really. Like, I mean, this is all speculation from my part. I want to point that out, that this isn't kind of inside information, but he's at a stage of his career where I don't know how many teams would be lining up to give him a DP deal and if he's happy and wants to stay. So again, a long-winded way of saying that even if they did come in with another U22 initiative player, I don't think that they'd be worried about, oh my God, somebody needs to leave right now, because they'll have that flexibility. It's more about planning and what they view roster construction. Like, before they signed Giacomo Baroni last summer, I was asking Bruce Arena kind of, okay, like, Dylan Barrero has been a really good signing, and that was a way that you can use kind of your, if teams want to spend, that's a place that they can spend because the transfer fees don't count against the salary cap for U22 initiative. And so I was like, are you guys going to go with the young DP so you could add two more U22 slots? And Bruce was, in typical Bruce fashion, just super honest. He's like, yeah, not really. you know, yeah, just because Dylan Barrero was a really good signing doesn't mean that everybody who comes in as U22, he's like, we think it's more valuable for to have three senior DPs and one U22 initiative. So I don't know if that's evolved or changed, or maybe it's a player by player basis. But yeah, I mean, if they do add another U22 initiative player, like, they won't really be worried about it in the interim.
Now, I'm wondering, obviously a winger makes sense because Barrero is out for the season. It's going to take him quite a while to get back up to speed. But when you talk about a box-to-box midfielder, I think it does make sense. But the team also has a variety of options there. Noel Buck being a young player who's very, very good, in my opinion, should be in pen into the starting lineup when healthy. Latif Blessing is a TAM player that they brought in during the offseason. And he's had good moments. He's had kind of shakier moments. And you also have some other players like Tommy McNamara now spotted in training today. He's on his way back. So there's some options there. I think for me, what's hard to understand is, like, what is this team's best formation? Is it a 4-4-2? Is it a 4-3-3? Is it playing with a single striker? So can you help me understand, why does a central midfielder make sense to bring in during this window?
Yeah, I mean, that makes more sense than a winger for me, honestly. Like, I mean, I guess a winger to be able to play, like, just have another look, because I think their best formation is that 4-4-2 tight diamond or something like that, where it frees both fullbacks to get forward, and that's your width. Then you have Roni, in theory, if he can kind of live up to the DP tag. Roni, in theory, plays as, like, the point, the target forward, or whatever you want to call it. Gustavo Bo a little bit underneath him, and then Carlos Hill playing as a 10 free, because then Matt Polster is kind of the anchor in central midfield, and Blessing is when he was at his best at LAFC, he was playing as, like, a free eight, and, like, playing as one of those shuttlers in a 4-4-2 tight diamond, you can kind of go wherever, and you have, like, a lot of stability around you with Noah Buck and Matt Polster. So for me, it makes sense that they would go for another number eight, trying to get another player who could be starting quality that could add competition, or again, if there's an injury, or push those other players that are starters, and it gets all three DPs on the field without having to put somebody out of position. So yeah, 4-4-2 tight diamonds where I see this team, but Nacho Gil is going to come back eventually. I saw that, he was at training today, or he's been moving around. Allegedly, he'll be back at some point. So, again, it doesn't make sense to also add a winger. So you can, you know, in theory, play a 4-2-3-1, a 4-3-3. But yeah, for me, a 4-4-2 tight diamond is this team's best formation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Tom, you won't know more than anyone else that people love transfer rumors. They love any morsels that come out there. Rez fans were recently given a little morsel of something coming from Tom Quinlan of WPRO, mentioning that the Revs were interested in Victor Wanyama, currently with Montreal. He's a player that they might still be interested in bringing in during this window. Have you heard anything about this? Do you think that this is a possibility of happening during this transfer window?
I mean, as of last week, I was told that there was nothing advanced at all, that it was just kind of preliminary. So I was told not to read too much into it. Again, things could change. Again, yeah, they like the player, but you look around, like, an example I always go to, there's a team in MLS who have a spreadsheet of their value for every single player in the league. And every few weeks, they'll call clubs. How much, if we wanted to trade for this player, how much would he cost? How much would he cost? So these calls happen every day, all the time. Hey, how much would this player cost? So that's not to say entirely that there's, like, nothing to this or whatever, but I try to be careful of, like, yeah, like, they like this player and everybody would want somebody at the right price. It's just nothing that has been described to me as, like, advanced or too serious at the moment.
Do you know, out of curiosity, I know we talked about this a little bit on the podcast last week, Wanyama's a designated player right now, and I know his salary is, I think his total salary is below the max dam DP threshold, but his total compensation is above it. And so, and I don't know if Montreal could eat it. I have a theory that you could eat a chunk and get it down to that 1.65 million, and then the Revs could take it. Do you know if that's possible for the Revs to even get Wanyama on the roster?
Yeah, I was told that they could get around it. So my assumption is the same as you, is that, like, if something would happen, that Montreal would hold, like, I don't know, 150,000, like, whatever it is, to just get him to max TAM. And then maybe the Revs trade that amount of money. Like, Colorado and Seattle did a loan for Danny Leyva, and Colorado were able to get him on the supplemental roster because Seattle held, it was like 96,000 of his salary. And then Colorado traded them 96,000 allocation money. So it's like, the money was all the same, but it was just the way that he hit the cap. So that's something that I'm assuming that would happen for a trade of Victor Wanyama or anybody else who's kind of over like that wouldn't be able to fit for a DP. But yeah, again, I think this is all kind of in theory rather than in practice. Again, at the moment, things change quickly. Again, we're talking about all this. There's been so many deals that have been done already, and the transfer window doesn't open for another week and a half. So
yeah, that's true. Well, we're really starving for incoming rumors because we always hear about outgoing players, people trying to poach from the New England Revolution. I don't think there's any bigger name right now than Georgie Petrovic. Two-part question. Is there any chance Georgie Petrovic leaves in the summer? And two, is there any chance he stays beyond next winter window?
Yeah, there's absolutely a chance that he leaves in the summer. But I don't think it's a big one. I mean, again, like both sides of this year, like it hasn't gotten to a point where there's like an offer on the table and ready to go. So it's still like a lot of that stage of there are a lot of teams that like him and a lot of teams that have scouted him and have made their interest known to the Revs. Like talking to somebody at the club who joked, it's like, yeah, dude, every other day there's like a new team that we've heard. He's like, you know, you could say pretty much any team and I'm assume that yeah, like they're interested in him. Obviously they want to keep him until the winter. The difficulties are is that like if you end up like, I don't know what the fee would be, if you end up paying 10 to 12 million for a 24-year-old goalkeeper, however exactly old he is, you want him right now. You don't want to wait until the winter. So I understand why that might be tough, but man, the Revs would have to be blown away by an offer, I think, to even consider it. And it would probably have to be Petrovic pushing for it as well. Like in their perfect world, they keep him for the winter. Anything is possible, but I can't see a scenario in which he's still here after the winter. So I don't know. Again, if I was the Revs or a Revs fan, I'd be, if you offered me right now, he could definitely stay until the winter. I would take that and no questions asked and not kind of wager for anything else.
Before I kick it over to Seth Dufour's next question, I've seen some online sources throw out numbers of like 24, 30 million, which seem absurd to me. Matt Turner was still for like 7 million. Is that, I mean, are those numbers absurd to you as well? I feel like those are kind of
stuff. Yeah, it's insane. Alfonso Davies was 22 million, including add-ons. Like, Douglas Onino was 10 million up front with 5 million in add-ons. Like, and he was 17 or whatever when he was sold. Like, again, I think Petrovic is a better keeper right now, but like people buy potential and Chelsea, like, I don't know. Is Manchester United coming in with $20 million, $25 million for Petrovic? I'd be kind of surprised, but hey, who knows?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Another player that is obviously gaining interest abroad is Noel Bach. What are you hearing about Bach?
Yeah, a lot of English teams like him. He's one where it would make sense to agree a deal now for the winter because at his age, like, and the minutes that he's getting here, even if an English club are like, yeah, we even think he might be ready for minutes right now, like, there'd be no real reason to risk, like to overpay to get him immediately. And again, the Revs aren't going to do it. Like they're keeping him until the winter at least. But yeah, that's one where I could see a deal being agreed this summer for the winter, a la Tejan Buchanan. But yeah, Buck is, I don't know, around this time last year, whenever he was like just first getting into the first team, I heard some good things from like academy coaches. But again, like you hear a lot of good things about a lot of good players, and you're always curious to see how they're going to kind of make the jump to the pro game. And like, I don't know, within his first couple appearances, it was like, I was talking to like Matt Doyle about him. We're both like, wow, this kid's got a chance. He's legit. And then all winter, I was like, I think he's going to have a legit chance to be a starter. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, I knew he would have been this indispensable starting level player. But like, just looking at the roster and like talking to people at the club, they were like, yeah, I think he's ready for minutes. And we'll see. Like they gave him the chance to win the minutes. He won the minutes. And look at him now. Yeah. So he's got an English passport. He's eligible for England and Wales. I'm pretty shocked that Wales haven't at least tried to call him up yet. Maybe they're a little slow in the passports. But again, English FA has reached out to New England. English FA has been in contact with Buck and Buck's representatives. Like they said that they plan to call him up in the future. So yeah, this is it's a really high level talented kid. And it's been awesome to watch him kind of graduate from youth to like really get into the first team here with the Reds.
All right, let's talk about the last one that the Revolution might lose, unless you know of any other players that are on the radar right now. DeJuan Jones has been the target of rumors for a few years now, currently with the U.S. men's national team. He's getting up there in age. What do you think? Is DeJuan Jones going to make that leap, or do you think someone's going to stay in MLS for quite a while?
Yeah, I think it might be the latter now. Like I thought last summer if Stuttgart came in, because Stuttgart were supposed to sell their left back and Duan was high on their list. They never sold the left back, so obviously they didn't need to buy a new left back. Like you said, his age, it's weird. And like, look, like, I'm gonna explain it how it's explained to me. I disagree with the logic, but like, and there's a lot of expertise here just because I've been asking about Kai Wagner for 2.5 years now about why hasn't somebody come in with a $6-7 million bid or whatever, something fair. Is that like teams, and particularly in Germany, don't want to buy a player who they don't think they can sell to England for $20 million in 3 years? And it's like, Duan Jones isn't old. He's still at the beginning of his prime, and he would be very useful for Stuttgart, like a mid-table, lower table Bundesliga team. But like, teams don't want to spend the money. And if you're the Revs, why would you accept like a $3 million transfer, like whatever the number is, right? Like, why, what incentive would they have? What are you going to use that money on, both in terms of salary cap and just real spending, to get a player like Duan Jones? Like, so he's kind of entering that phase for me where it's like really difficult to sell, because the European clubs aren't going to offer a lot of money to make it worth your while. And like, you're not going to be able to replace him. Like, this isn't a rising player. This is one of the best two left backs in the league for me, right? Like, so yeah, I'm curious to see what happens. And like, he's happy. Like, I want to be able to point that out too, that he's not just like, oh man, like a team in the Cyprus first division offered me, like, I gotta go. Or like a Swedish mid-table team, see you later, it's Europe, guys. Like, I don't know, Anderlecht reached out, and like another, like Olympiacos, and like that, he wasn't like thrilled about it. He wasn't like, he's like, yeah, no, I'd rather kind of stay here. Like, again, not, don't quote me kind of directly on that, but it's like, outside of the top five leagues, it's not like a no-brainer. Oh my God, I got to go there. Because again, at his age, you know, it's good competition here. It's gotten him into the national team. Finally, it took a little bit too long for me, but he got him into the national team, and like, things are going well. So it's not like he'll just jump at the first or any random European offer. It'd have to be something that makes sense. And again, a long-winded way of saying, I'm not sure that option is really out there that makes sense for the player and the Revs.
I got some listener questions here from the paid subscribers of the Blazing Musket. First question here, actually, we've touched on a couple of the other questions. Not the first question, but the first question of this mailbag. For Mark, is there anyone on the Revs that is in jeopardy of being traded away from the Revs when the transfer window opened? And obviously, this is sans, you know, Buck, Petrovic. Right. Is there another name that's kind of an odd man out? Last year, we saw Sebastian Legette. Anyone on that level that you've heard of?
Yeah, I mean, nothing that's really obvious to me. Nothing comes to mind. And I try to be careful, too, about even speculating here, because I know that people will take it from me as like, it might be something real. So like, I don't love like trading guys without any, like, without any kind of context or info. But I mean, I don't know, because like, if you were a GM of another club, like, who would you be really looking at? Like, if I'm looking at this roster, like, they don't really have another center back to move, like, until Henry Kessler gets back. But even that, it's like, I don't know. It Christian McCoon's already been on several teams. Like, I'm sure he could be available, but like, if I was another GM, I'd be thinking, well, like, Miami had him, and then New England had him, and where I already forgot where else he was at. But it's like, how many different teams have had him? Maybe there's not some, right. So yeah, there's no real obvious one here. Like, again, if somebody wanted to take like a roll of the dice on Giacomo Brioni, I don't think so. But yeah, there's nothing that kind of strikes me as obvious. But again, like, I don't know where they are in senior roster spots. I think that they're good. I don't think that anybody else needs to leave for them to add two more players. But like, that's always a possibility.
You know, you kind of touched on something else. We got a question. Heel's not going anywhere, right? In parentheses, but are there any teams looking to sign Bo or Vrioni away from the Revs? It's no insight there on the three designated players.
I imagine no insight there, and that rarely happens in this league. Like, you were talking about extra time a little bit yesterday, and like, I forget if it was Goss or Weeby or Kaelin, who was just like, yeah, like, would you trade Bernadeschi? I was like, when has somebody like Federico Bernadeschi been traded? Like, Alejandro Pozuelo was such a huge story last year because that was the most like unique, random, like DP, like in prime DP being traded. And that's like, even that was circumstantial because Toronto had to move him off. It was either that or like cut him, right? Like, so I don't know, like, these things don't happen. And like, to be fair to these players, like, again, if you're Bernadeschi or if you're Giacomo Brioni, like, a year ago, you were sold on the New England project and like, you wanted to sign for New England. Like, in Europe, they can't trade you without your permission. Like, here, like, we'd be like, hey, you're headed to Houston. I'd be like, what the hell? Like, I agreed to sign here like a year ago. Like, so I don't know. I just don't think that's something that's realistic that happens. Like, maybe it will be one day, but for me, that's more of like a rare, like, special cases. So no, I wouldn't look into that too much right now.
And one more. It was brought up earlier about Sebastian Legette. He was brought in last offseason. It was a big piece. He was then moved during the season. It was kind of a surprise moment. We've tried to get some information, but it's kind of tight-lipped. FC Dallas mentioned that the Revs were covering some of his contract. Do you know what exactly happened there and why the Revolution would be willing to cover some of his contract? I don't know if you know any of the story about what happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was described to me as like nothing bad. Like Bruce and Legette obviously had the relationship going back to LA, and they still have the relationship. And it was kind of like both sides understood it. It wasn't really working out, but both sides respected each other so much that it was like, you know, Bruce wasn't going to be like, we want you gone. And Legette wasn't going to be like, I want to get out of here. It was kind of like they figured it out. I was like, you know, I don't know. And then, okay, if something worked out. And so I was told it was a like collaborative and a good process that like, it was like, yeah, maybe this hasn't worked out as planned. Maybe it'd be better for you. And then, you know, he goes to Dallas. And, you know, I know that this seems like a long, long time ago now, but he was still on the cusp of like the national team picture and going to Dallas where they play the national team system that had one of Berhalter's assistants that had Ferreira and Areola. Like this all made sense. I think that it was a good landing spot for Legette. And it made sense for New England. Like he was like positionless here. Like he fits much better into their 4-3-3 as a number eight than like what he was playing a little winger. He was playing a little 10. He's playing a little eight. Like he was kind of bouncing around. So like, I don't know that like, again, the way it was described to me was that it was really kind of positive on all sides that like, it just a collaborative, like, yeah, this just isn't really working out like we hoped.
Another player that left last year was Adam Buksa getting transferred over to Lens there. Injuries, plague season, wasn't able to get on the field a lot. He's now, you know, the center of rumors. Like, where will he end up? Do you think he comes back to MLS at all? And if so, do you think the Revs could be a possibility for him?
I would love for him to come back to MLS. Like, I know that he was very ready to go back to Europe this time last year, whenever it was. So maybe it'd be a little surprising. But again, if I'm an MLS team, like, you know, Nashville is the obvious one that gets thrown out. If I'm an MLS team with an open DP spot, like RSL before they signed Chicho Arango, like, it's the same kind of like mold. You get a guy who was an absolute killer in MLS. He left and came back real quick. So teams should be looking into it. I don't know where his head's at, like what necessarily he wants. Again, I know that he wanted to get back to Europe, partly because of the national team, partly for whatever else that like it was kind of ready. So I don't know if he wants to stick it out in Europe or if, again, like I'd imagine he'd be getting paid very well if he came back to MLS. So like that obviously helps change the math and change the decision-making. So yeah, again, if I was a GM with an open DP spot and he fit my model, like that's somebody he'd be high on the list. For the Revs, no, like I don't, unless that you get rid of Vrioni, like, cause I'd be surprised if Buksa doesn't change clubs this summer and the Revs can't do it this summer. So that would, you know, even if he doesn't, like, I don't know if what Lens's plan for him is. Maybe I should just be careful because I don't know what the hell that they're going to do. But so maybe they see a future for him. But like, I'd imagine that he's going to move this summer, right? Like, again, just completely from the outside looking in, it's somebody who didn't play at all because of injury and had struggles. And now that they're in the Champions League, they're a different club than he joined a year ago. So I don't know. Regardless, I'd imagine that would be something resolved this summer and the Revs can't do anything this summer.
Shifting gears over from the transfer window to something else coming up, the Summer Leagues Cup. One question we got here is, I think Leagues Cup could be great for club soccer in the region, but it doesn't seem like Bruce Arena is too excited about it. He's kind of made some comments about the schedule in general of the Leagues Cup, kind of as the centerpiece of that. What's the feeling about this competition throughout MLS?
I can only speak for myself. Like, I think I understand both sides of that. Like, I'm pretty juiced for it, honestly. Like, I really like the idea of all MLS clubs versus all Liga MX clubs, and this will be a fun tournament, honestly. I understand the concerns about the games. I was more excited about this before the playoffs got added a bunch more games. Again, like, I guess I'd consider myself somebody who's conscious of players and player desires. Like, it's a lot, man. Like, every team is going to be playing upwards of, you're guaranteed whatever, 40 games in a season if you don't make the playoffs and if you don't advance through any of these competitions. And Philadelphia Union are looking at like 55, right? Like that's a lot. And MLS rosters have been, again, I don't want to do the hacky, the obvious, yeah, they need to open the rosters or more money or whatever. I think for me, it'd be the one way to kind of work around this is like the supplemental roster that most of the homegrowns are on, that should be expanded. Even like, I think that's a no-brainer. That's kind of an easy one. Cause like, I was talking to people at like the Red Bulls. They just like, we'll talk about like kind of GA Cup, the MLS Next Playoffs and all that stuff. The Red Bulls U15 team won their A Dragon. They did really well at the GA Cup as well. And they have a couple kids that they're looking to sign and just the normal pathway to pro, but they already have X amount of homegrown players in the first team. And like, that shouldn't even be a thought to me, whether it should be, is this player ready to be a professional? Is the pathway that makes the most sense for this player? it should never come into the math. Well, we have five players on our supplemental roster. What if we do this and we move one of the guys to the senior roster? Like, that should never get in the way of promoting an academy kid to the first team. So that would be, I think, one way to obscure the games. But like, yeah, it's a lot of games, and I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I do have optimism that this will be fun.
You're preaching to the choir there, because I look at someone like Nick Firmino, who scored his first goal last year, and he was a player that I think got pushed off of the Revs' first team roster. He was on a supplemental roster spot because there were some other academy kids coming in behind him, kind of moving around, like Damian Rivera. Now Damian Rivera is in that spot where he's probably getting pushed out because he's got some younger players behind him. So I think if you expand that from 10 to 15 or 20, and then of course there's also your Ema Boatengs and your Earl Edwards juniors and Sweats who take up their veterans, but they take up supplemental roster spots, and that kind of messes up with the academy structure. Speaking of academies real quick, the Revs have a dynasty now, it seems like, potentially with the MLS Next Cup. Do the Revs have the best academy in the league? It seems like an area they made a ton of strides in under Bruce Arena and Kurt Anolfo.
I wouldn't go as far as to saying the best in the league, but yeah, what's happening with this academy is awesome, man. Like, dude, 4 years ago, like, we'd be killing the Revs academy right now. I'd be like, who have they produced? They don't put anybody in the first team, all this stuff. Chris Tierney, Kurt Anolfo, like, these guys deserve a ton of credit for what they've done, like, helping develop, produce the likes of Nobuck. And then again, like Bruce Arena, like a legendary coach, one of the best ever in this league. The one thing you could knock him for in like 2016 was how many young players did he develop with the Galaxy? Like Omar Gonzalez was like the only name that you can come up with. And now look at him. Like he's playing Buck. He's playing, like, there was that game where it was Buck, Jack, and Esmir, that it was like, oh my God, this is the same Bruce Arena that people were like, he will never play young players. And all of a sudden he's playing three kids that are 18 years old. Like, I don't know. Like, it's definitely, they've done a lot of really good things. I wouldn't go as far as to say best yet, but like, they're definitely going up to that top, like the top tiers. Like, obviously Philly and Dallas are kind of like the OGs there. Red Bulls are really good. San Jose are doing a lot of good stuff lately. I'm sure that I'm missing teams off the top of my head, but like the Revs, like, legit are right up there. And again, like Bruce Arena, Kurt Anolfo, Chris Tierney are three names that come to mind as just like really, really good work to like reverse or you know, build all this up that they've done. Like, this doesn't happen by accident. It's not just because Noel Buck was born near New England. Like, you know, there's a lot of natural talent in a lot of these kids, but like, if you don't give them the pathway, the platform, then like, it doesn't really matter. Or, and if they don't believe in the pathway, they'll just go sign somewhere else. So again, I think the Revs deserve a lot of credit.
A lot of the Revs players aren't from New England either. Esmir and Santiago Suarez coming in from around the country. So Seth, any other final questions to wrap up here?
No, I'm going to ask you one. In the offseason, you have Ema Boateng, who was a free agent, and Greg likes to talk about this a lot on Twitter. He comes back signing for less money, around $90,000, I believe, something like that. And we talked to him, and he said all the right things. He wanted to be in New England. You know, he didn't want to move. Are there teams around this league that are kicking themselves for not signing Ema Boateng during the offseason?
It was pretty crazy. Like, the fact that he came back on, like, trial initially, like, that was weird. Like, I was like, why didn't they're like, you know who he is, right? Like, just, you could just sign him or not. Like, wouldn't you have your decision made already? Not like him, his assist to Bobby Wood, that like phenomenal ball from the left channel that like he bent in. I was like, it just made me so happy to see, again, Bobby Wood, who people would have said was washed last year, and Ema Boateng, when people would be like, if he's playing, like, that's not a good sign. Like, I don't know, man. I always get excited that when these, I guess, squad players, roster players, like, are still able to prove that why they're on the roster, and that with a little playing time, again, like, it probably wasn't plan A for him to be playing as many minutes as he has, but he's done really well and he's earned it. So I think we're too quick to kind of write off players, or too quick to say, oh, there's a 19-year-old who has the chance to maybe be better. He needs to play. This guy needs to get cut. Like, I don't know, man, this is professional soccer. It's not a U23 league. And I don't know. It's made me really happy to see Boateng kind of playing well.
All right, well, Tom, I think we're at our limit for time. We could talk to you for another couple hours in brain, but we really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Cheers. I'll be back when I'm not moving, so it's easier to plan.
Thanks again to Tom Bogart of The Athletic for joining the show today. Just a reminder that this show is presented to you by Bet Online. Make sure you use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, on your first deposit to receive a 50% welcome bonus. And also thank you to Colosso Kits. Remember to use promo code REVSRECAP for 15% off your order at colossokits.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.